with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into a bunch of different topics today. Thunder, 15 games to go. They don't play again until tomorrow night. Sitting atop the Western Conference standings. Just been an unbelievable year, and you'll probably notice that in some of the different individual awards, from the MVP to the Rookie of the Year, maybe even Defensive Player of the Year. There would be Thunder guys littered throughout, maybe not winning them all, but at least in the running and in the top three or four or five for a lot of those different individual awards. Obviously, I think you could go ahead and ship the award for Coach of the Year to Mark Daigneault. That's probably a wrap. But it's been an unbelievable year so far for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it 15 games left in the regular season before the first time the playoffs will return to downtown Oklahoma City since 2019. So we got a lot of things to talk about with the Thunder. NCAA tournament, we'll roll on with that. What games are you looking forward to on Thursday and Friday? I've written down maybe five or so of games that I'm really looking forward to. One, maybe the upset potential. Two, close games. Three, just the style of play that I think is going to be a lot of fun in some of those matchups. I want you guys to give me a double-digit seed that'll make the Sweet 16. It's happened like 11 years in a row. And so who is that team? Who is that double-digit seed this year that's going to make it to the Sweet 16 or possibly even further? Is there anything in your bracket that you're absolutely sure of? Be it good or be it bad. You know, a certain team's going to make it so a certain – to a certain round, or maybe a team's not going to make it to a certain round. So give me something that you're sure of. Scott, yes, I did start the podcast. Two in a row. Two for two this week without Jared sitting in the seat across from me on starting the recording so that we can have a podcast. Now, problem is I don't know how to create that, so we may not have actual podcasts till next week when Jared gets back, but as far as having the material there, absolutely. I'm two for two in recording the show. So is there anything you're certain of in your bracket? Are you ready to give me your final four? I thought I was ready. And now I've kind of changed my mind. I started reading some other things from the gambling perspective and just kind of probabilities that don't necessarily match up with as far as teams, what the public's thinking about certain teams versus what the betting markets are saying about certain teams. So I'm going to have to really think about that. I may do some switching around, because I had my original bracket. I had a couple of my first shot at it. I had 2-1s, a 4, and an 11 in the final four. But I think I'm going to change that up a little bit because of some of the things I wrote about the odds. So where are you at? Are you ready for your final four? Are you ready to fire it out there? Or are you still kind of tweaking your bracket around a little bit? Also, we didn't really talk much about this yesterday as far as OU not going to the NIT. How you feel about that? I think there's two main points to be brought up that kind of mirror each other on whether or not you care about that or not. So we can get into that as well in the middle segment when we talk college basketball. Then right off the top, man, high school sports, Big Elks continue to roll on the baseball field. Cash Mayfield's stats are absolutely absurd. Like, so absurd that it's hard to even believe they're true. But I'll tell you what his season-long stats are so far on the mound after last night. There's some small school teams that are killing it, too. I couldn't find, for some reason, the OSSAA rankings page. It was kind of messed up this morning. Should have had rankings yesterday when I went to kind of mirror the rankings with a bunch of these teams' records. It wasn't available. I don't know what's going on there, but I can tell you the records. There's some teams that are really rolling in the small school baseball. Also, we got college golf. Exciting today. Exciting possibilities today. With Oklahoma and Oklahoma State both in the mix out in California. Also, former young man that grew up right here in Elk City in the mix individually. So we'll talk about that as well. That's what I've got planned. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. The app has it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News hits the website tonight at midnight, thepennynews.com. You can check out all the deals online there through the app and at thepennynews.com. And, of course, by tomorrow afternoon into Thursday morning, the print edition will be everywhere. Big Elk and Paragon TV in the app as well when we got the high school sports rolling. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast, which we will have so far, two for two this week with Jared out. That's some sort of record for me to remember to hit the record button twice in a row. But you can find that anywhere where podcasts drop. All right, so I mentioned Cash Mayfield and the Big Elks, 8-1. Looking at the prep baseball report rankings on Facebook yesterday, which is a full class. It doesn't break down like 6A, 5A, 4A. Just everybody in the state kind of ranks them. The Elks moved up a spot to number 7 overall, Tuttle number 5, the two 4A teams that are in it. And there was actually a little blurb about maybe those two teams separating themselves in Class 4A from everybody else. I think a big part of the reason why the Elks moved up a spot from 8 was split with Tuttle here on Friday. The Elks defeated the Tigers 6-0 in Game 1, really kind of kicked it around in Game 2. I think J-Mac said they ended up committing seven or eight errors in Game 2 and lost that one 7-4. And so you can obviously see, you know, I'm sure a few of those runs were unearned for the Tigers in Game 2. So, but a split there, beat a good Mount St. Mary team that's down in 3A, and then yesterday and through that the rest of the week they'll be down at the down in Broken Bow playing a bunch of different places. You know, they were at Valiant, and then they'll go to Idabel. They're playing a lot of different teams in a lot of different places for the spring break weekend. So the Elks are rolling, and so is Cash Mayfield. The stats that he has put up so far, it's almost you almost can't believe it. Like, it's fake. So he has faced 27 batters so far this season. He's recorded 26 outs of those 26 of the 27 batters he's faced. He's gotten 26 of them out. He walked one, and of those 26 outs, everybody is a strikeout victim. Nobody has put the ball in play against Cash so far. I mean, that just doesn't even make sense that would be even possible. But that's what it is right now with Mayfield. And, you know, J-Mac talked about the leap kind of in velocity that he's made from his junior to his senior year. He's already throwing hard as a junior. It's even harder as a senior, and maybe even refined his abilities to find the plate, and just as a pitcher, not just as a thrower. So, I mean, that's – you almost literally can't do better. I guess if he wouldn't have walked the one guy, he'd be 26 of 26 as far as striking out and out. So, obviously, he's something that you don't see very often. And so everybody just had a text, when's his next start? Well, he started last night down in southeast Oklahoma. It's hard to gauge as far as the I-40 Classic because, you know, that's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right? The 28th is Thursday. It's hard to gauge if he would start there or if it would be at Kingfisher on the 1st. He probably would maybe throw an inning or two against Calumet on the 28th and then be back, of course, in his normal spot on a Monday in the district. I think if you're wondering when the next start he's going to make right here in Elk City, I think you look to April the 8th. April the 8th, game one of the two-game district series against Clinton will be right here in inside Ackley Park. So I think if you're trying to get to Ackley Park to be able to see him pitch, April the 8th is your day with Clinton coming to town for the first game of the two-game district series. So that would be I'll mark that on my calendars. If you're wanting to get to Elk City and see him pitch, I think that's your shot, is April the 8th, because after that, then they're kind of on the road. The first game against Weatherford, which is going to probably decide the district championship, that next week starting the 15th, that first game's over at Weatherford. So that would be kind of where you'd have to go to see him that game, would be over at Weatherford. So, but April 8th, I think, is the next time that you're going to see Cash inside Ackley Park to be able to throw. And then, of course, it'll get into the regionals, and if the Elks continue on the pace they're on, a super regional would more than likely be here as well. So you get to see him throw then. But just truly astounding numbers so far for Mayfield. I think it's one of the coolest things about it, and one probably the hardest things about it is it's totally expected. Now, maybe not to this level, but the pressure that's on him to perform each and every time out, not only from his teammates, from his fans, from his coaches, but also from the guys with the guns and the jugs guns in the stands, the scouts. He has to go out every pitch and execute, and he's been able to do it to a wild, wild level so far. So kudos to him, and just unbelievable the stats that he's put up so far as the Big Elks. They'll play at noon today against another 4A team in Bridge Creek down at the Southeast Shootout. That's Broken Bow, Ida Bell, all throughout that area. Some other teams around the area, though, it's not just the Big Elks that have gotten off to a really hot start on the baseball diamond around Western Oklahoma. A bunch of small schools have as well. As I mentioned, man, I was really wanting to highlight the rankings and how high a lot of these teams are ranked in Class A, Class B, but for some reason the site isn't allowing that today. But just from a record standpoint, a couple of undefeated teams so far. Arapahoe Butler, 8-0. They're still undefeated. I think Hydro may still be undefeated. I know Sentinel is as well. It's 7-0. So Arapahoe and Sentinel, as far as the Paragon TV schools, they're both undefeated, 8-0, 7-0. You got Canute out to a 7-1 start. They were actually 7-0 before falling to Pioneer up at a festival over the weekend. So the Trojans are executing well at 7-1. Hollis has played a ton of baseball games, a ton more than everybody else. Unfortunately, that might be due to getting knocked out earlier in the basketball playoffs than everybody. But Hollis is 16-2. They've already played 18 games, which is double the amount of basically anybody else on this list. So Hollis at 16-2. Granite's 5-1. Their lone loss came in extra innings against the fall baseball state champ, Fort Cobb Roxton. So obviously Granite is right there, playing really well. Leedy at 4-3. And then you got some teams that are just a little bit under 500 in the Paragon Network. And then another one that I think is an awesome story, a heck of a story from where this program has come from. Back in my day, or when I was in high school, you looked over just 20 miles to the west, and Sayre was always very, very, very good. The field was always awesome to play on, even as a kid, and into junior high, playing on that field out there on the highway. And, you know, Coach James, who's now down at Chickasha, Lumpy, had that program rolling. It was a really good baseball team for a lot of years over at Sayre. And then you fast forward about 20 years, and maybe, what, 4 or 5 years ago, there wasn't even a high school baseball team. Completely nothing going on in the high school ranks at Sayre. It was incredible to think about for me how that's even possible, for them not to have a team. And quite frankly, there's some people, and my son is probably, it's one of them, that isn't there because of the fear of that happening again. But I think you could take that away. Hunter Hines, first-year head coach, young fella, who has done an unbelievable job of trying to resurrect that Sayre baseball program. He's got the Eagles 5-4 early on in the season, which is unthinkable from what we've seen over there over the past 3 or 4 years. So kudos to Hunter, man. That is really awesome. You know, he's grown up there, played for them, and so it's pretty cool to see it mean something to somebody to take over that Sayre program, and not only jump started, but he's got those guys playing really good baseball. So kudos to Hunter and the Sayre program at 5-4. He's really doing a great job, and I've said this since I was a kid, and I learned it from somebody else. But to go to my father-in-law's house, you'd have to pass the baseball field when we lived in Sayre, and quite frankly, it was hard to look over there at times with the way that thing was unkempt, and that tells me something about what it means to the coach how their field looks. And now you go by there, and it's getting back to the days that it was just completely immaculate. And so I don't think it should be much of a surprise to see how much pride and how much effort he's put into turning that field around. Then, of course, ends up with the team starting to play well also. So kudos to Hunter, man. That's a really cool story. All right, last thing kind of locally. It's more of a local guy playing on the national and international type stage. College golf, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in the running this week out in California as a team. It's like Pama Valley, I think maybe how you say that, P-A-U-M-A, Pama Valley is where the tournament is. After two rounds yesterday in the first round, Vanderbilt leads at 15-under. Oklahoma State, who's kind of got off to a rocky start, really. They're in second at 12-under, and then the Sooners didn't play very good in the first round, came back with a 9-under second round. They sit tied for third with San Diego and UCLA at 6-under par, so 9 shots back with today to play. But you look over on the individual side, Jonas Baumgartner from OSU is 8-under in the lead by 2 over Gordon Sargent. Gordon Sargent's a guy that, if you follow much golf, even the amateur golf, you know who he is. A top-ranked amateur in the world and a guy that's destined to try to find some stardom out on the PGA Tour at one point. He's 6-under. But then you look down at 3-under. Tied for 6th is true freshman Ryder Cowan. Ryder grew up here in Elk City, then moved to Edmond. That's clearly been a great move for him and his family, to not only just for him on the golf course, but them as a family. And I know they've enjoyed their time up there. Man, Ryder shot even par, came back. He struggled a little bit in round one, but birdied his 17th hole, which was number 10 from where they started. Shot even par the first round, then 3-under the second round. Actually had it to 4-under, and then bogeyed his last hole to finish 3-under. But Ryder tied for 6th. He and Ben Lorenz of Oklahoma, the best finisher so far, at least through two rounds. So we'll see, if he can start out hot, maybe make a run at an individual title, which would also obviously help OU. But it's cool to see, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. It's been a couple of years since we've been able to think about those, a bedlam matchup in the NCAAs. It happened up at Carston back in 2018, I think was the year that they were that they actually played a match play match against each other in OSU's national championship winning season on their home course up at Carston. We haven't seen it since, but maybe we're starting to get back on that track. Softball appears like it's always a possibility to see a bedlam matchup in Oklahoma City at the Women's College World Series. Maybe we can get back to golf being the same way, because I know there was a couple of times over the course of as this show has existed where we thought we might get bedlam golf for the national title and bedlam softball for the national title. It's never quite worked out that way. But maybe Oklahoma State playing well this week. OU's already won a tournament this spring. And so maybe we can start getting back toward a chance at seeing that happen. But good luck to Ryder, man. He's a good kid. He's obviously a fantastic golfer as a true freshman, looking to try to make his way up the leaderboard. Tied 6th right now going into the last round. He's 5 shots behind OSU's Jonas Baumgartner. So that's kind of the local flair. We didn't really get to much of that yesterday because of the tournament announcements and the Players' Championship. So it's where we're at here on a spring break week. Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We'll tell you all about Paul Jones Drug when we come back and also hit some NCAA tournament stuff. What games are you looking forward to on Thursday and Friday the most? Text us 225-9698, Skinny on Sports on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
Hey, is this heaven? No.
It's the Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. It is the Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal, hanging out here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner and the gang at Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust right here in the Elk City area. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. That means they are the most experienced compounding pharmacy. They offer free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing and vaccinations, and their long-term care unit packaging is known as their blister packs. Paul Jones Drug, 225-2121, 809 North Main Street. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. All right, NCAA tournament time. Those the first play-in games tonight. You got, what, Wagner and Howard up first with the right to play North Carolina. And then you get... Oh, darn, I had it written down. Now I've lost it. Colorado State and Virginia. Tonight at Dayton. First game, 5:40. Second game, 8:10. Colorado State and Virginia. 10 seeds trying to get into the bracket in order to face Texas would be their opponent. I'm glad they quit calling this round one. Calling it the first four, that suits me so much better. Because I think the tournament starts on Tuesday. Or excuse me, on Thursday with the first round, the normal first round. So my question to you guys is this. Which games are you looking most forward to coming up on Thursday and Friday? I wrote down a couple. I think we were robbed a little bit. And listen, you can each team that's out that didn't get in, there's reasons why they think they should. There's reasons why they think they why people think they shouldn't. Whatever it is, but I do think we got robbed of what could have been a tournament sensation with the exclusion of Indiana State. And the national phenomenon that could have created if you watched them play. I think they were one of the they could have been one of the teams that became kind of the face of the tournament without any doubt in my mind. They really could have. Okay, I'm trying to remember his name. Robbie something. Efforting. Oh, my goodness. Robbie Avila is his last name, Avila. We that really could have been a cool story if Indiana State could have made a run on the, what, the 45th? Are we to 45? 46, 45, 1979, 45, yeah. 45th anniversary of the Bird Magic national title game. That, we're kind of robbed of that by Indiana State and the Sycamores not making the field. But I submit to you another guy that could absolutely become the face of this NCAA basketball tournament if his team is able to make a run. And that guy is, however you say his first name, Tominaga, the Japanese guard from Nebraska. The Huskers have never won an NCAA tournament game. They play A&M as the 8 versus the 9. And so for that reason and people getting to know Kaisei Tominaga, I'm going to go with A&M and Nebraska as my most look forward team forward to game in round one. Also, there's the Trev Alberts saga with Trev leaving Nebraska as the AD to go to A&M, and then now you've got both the men's and the women's teams playing each other in round one of the NCAA tournament. Yeah, obviously, that was on purpose. You know, Fred Hoiberg is a name that the Big 12 and the Big 8 folks obviously remember from his days at Iowa State. And now he's back in Nebraska trying to create magic that we have not seen in Husker land. So, and then, of course, the possibility in the next round, if it doesn't go Nebraska's way, you could see A&M in Houston as the second round game. So I like Nebraska and A&M is maybe the game I'm most looking forward to overall in the first round on Thursday and Friday. Number two is a Big 12 team that has been good over the last handful of years. And I don't really know what to make of this team versus one of the bid stealers. It's the 6th in Tech against the 11th seeded North Carolina State Wolfpack. I think that's a very interesting game and one that maybe kind of tips the scales for the Big 12. If Tech is able to win, then that starts, you know, validating all the nice things that were said about the league throughout the season. So that's one that I think could be really, really interesting. Another one, you know, Gonzaga going into, you know, January or so, nobody knew if they were even going to be a tournament team, and they turn it on like they normally do against maybe the enigma of the entire tournament with Will Wade. I mean, Will Wade was literally on an FBI wiretap trying to pay players at LSU. Now he's the coach at McNeese. They're one of only four teams that go into the tournament with 30 or more wins. That's a popular upset pick. This next one is just from a pure style of play standpoint. I think it's going to be one of the most fun games of the tournament, and that is Alabama and Charleston. They both fly up and down the floor. That should be so much fun. Maybe an homage to back of the glory days of NCAA basketball when you had, say, Billy and UNLV and Loyola Marymount running up and down the floor at breakneck speed. I think that's what you're going to see. That's going to be a great, fun game, Bama and Charleston. The fifth one on my list is because I'm really curious. You're starting to hear people maybe pick this as a 4-13 upset. Where is Kansas? Where are they at mentally? Where are they at health-wise? Are they playing possum? And everybody's going to pick them to lose to either Samford or Gonzaga or McNeese. And then next thing you know, they're right back in the Sweet 16, challenging to try to make a run at the Final Four. To me, they are the singular hardest team to pick where they finish in this tournament. Nothing on the floor this entire season, almost nothing on the floor this entire season, has said that Kansas is in any shape to make any sort of run in this NCAA tournament. But they are still Kansas, and they do still have Bill Self. So, to me, they are the in that whole bracket. I mean, I talked about it yesterday. I don't know that you'd be surprised at anything that happened in that Midwest bracket because of the vulnerability mentally of Purdue and what we've seen out of them as the one seed. Tennessee's been kind of one of those teams. They're the two seed in that bracket. They've been a team that's had some massive disappointments. Rick Barnes as the coach has had massive disappointments in his time on the bench, not only in Knoxville but obviously down in Austin with Texas. There's been a lot of times where the Horns and the Vols under the watchful eye of Rick Barnes have not made runs to the level that you thought they would. Creighton, what do we know? They were made runs last year. You know, and then this also has the teams that, you know, the McNeeses. Obviously Oregon out of nowhere into the tournament, winning the final Pac-12 tournament. Are they a team that can ride that wave all the way to the Final Four, into the Sweet 16. You know, South Carolina's been a surprise team. That's another good first-round matchup. It was kind of just off my radar as far as the top five. But, you know, Kansas is so much of a mystery to me, and that's why could the Samford Bulldogs knock them off? I think probably so. I would not be shocked if Kansas lost to Samford. I also wouldn't be shocked if Kansas made it to the Final Four because of the vulnerability of everybody else in this bracket when it comes to tournament results. I mean, you could absolutely see Hunter Dickinson and Zach Edey going at it in the Sweet 16, Kansas and Purdue, if the seeds hold, and Kansas being able to win that game and then knock off whoever else it is. That's not out of the realm of possibility. And so that's why, to me, that I put KU and Samford in there, even though it's a 4-13. I just don't have any idea where Kansas is at. TCU, Utah State, just for the local ties. I mentioned South Carolina, Oregon, and then Clemson and New Mexico. That's an interesting one as a 6-11, because I think most people think New Mexico is going to win that game. And so that leads us to, give me a double-digit seed that you think can make the Sweet 16. What double-digit seeds do you think are possible to make that Cinderella run? We've got New Mexico twice now on the text line, 225-9698. Who do you like? I've also got Drake. I like Oregon, for me. I actually, at this point, my bracket has Oregon in the Final Four. I don't know if it'll stay that way, but I've actually got Oregon in the Final Four right now. If I had to, my bracket was locked. I've also got New Mexico. A lot of people like Grand Canyon, Bryce Drew, maybe a guy to watch if you're an OSU fan. Throughout the tournament, if Bryce Drew can make a run, could he get another shot at a Power 5? He failed miserably at Vandy. But has he learned something along the way with Grand Canyon? He's got those. There's plenty of people that think they can beat St. Mary's in round one. And then also McNeese is another one that you hear with that gaudy record, and with Will Wade. I think you could definitely see some of those teams making a run. All right, what is one thing? What's one thing you're sure of? Now, it can be a positive, like I'm sure, which a lot of people around the country are. A lot of people are just sure that UConn will return to the Final Four, and for good reason. They appear to be the most balanced team and appear to be the most complete team out there. So I can understand, like, if that's your answer. Or it could be a negative, like I'm sure that so-and-so isn't going to do anything. It can be either one of those sides of the coin or something else. For me, the thing that I'm most sure of in my bracket is that, A, the Midwest is going to be the craziest, which also leads to, B, Purdue is not making the Final Four. I don't see Purdue being the Virginia of a couple of years ago after losing as a 1 against a 16 to turn around and make a run to the national title. I do not see it. I don't see Purdue. That's the one thing I'm positive about in my bracket, is Purdue isn't making the Final Four. Now, I'd had a hard time figuring out where I wanted them to get beat, but I'm positive that Purdue isn't making the Final Four. That's the one thing that I think I'm the most sure of in this entire bracket that I've filled out, is Purdue will not make the Final Four. Now, I've gone back and forth with about three different teams that are in the Final Four from that Midwest region, and I still am not sure. Is it Creighton? Is it Oregon? Could you go with Kansas? Do you trust Tennessee? You know, I think there's a lot of different options, and I think once we look at who all everybody picked in the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge, I think that may be where the bracket challenge is won, with correctly figuring that Midwest bracket that looks like it could be total chaos. So that's the one thing I am most sure of, is that Purdue is not going to make the Final Four. If I had to do a second thing, I would say my second thing that I'm most sure of is UConn will be in the Final Four. Are you ready to give me your Final Fours? 225-9698. Are you secretive until everything's locked in? I mentioned the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. We've got a lot of participants so far. You could sign up. I've got a link on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page that will take you right to our group if you don't want to try to navigate the ESPN site. I've got it on our Skinny on Sports Facebook page. Just click that link, and it'll take you right to the bracket, right into our group, and you can get involved. Great prize pack, $500 for the first-place winner, $200 for second, and $100 for the third-place finisher, and maybe, just maybe, a little bit of Masters swag as well when I get back from Augusta. You might prize packs might include some of that as well. So get involved. I'm going to be reposting that link all week long. That way everybody can find it. If you can't figure it out, you can text the text line, 225-9698. Text me if you don't have my phone number. I'll send you the link in a text that'll take you right to it as well. It's no big deal. I've done that a few times already, and I'll continue to do it as long until, what, Thursday at 11, when everything locks in and your picks are set for that Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. Get involved. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also, speaking of the NCAA tournament, your March Madness headquarters need to be the Boomtown Grill. Tuesday special, which is today, $5 chicken fried steak and one side. I mean, does it get any better than a $5 chicken fry and one side? It's a fantastic choice down there at Boomtown Grill, but there's all kinds of choices. You've got hamburgers, a French dip sandwich, a Southwest chicken wrap, all kinds of burger sandwiches and wraps. Burgers are made from 100% beef patties, freshly ground, never frozen. And, of course, happy hour comes from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. 11 beers on tap, 30 bottled and canned beers available in the imports or domestics, large wine selection, 12 big screen TVs. Boomtown Grill is the place to hang out and watch March Madness. And then you get yourself down there a few times. Now you're watching the Masters, then you're watching the Kentucky Derby, and now you've got a whole year's worth of plans to hang out at the Boomtown Grill. 2103 South Main in Elk City. Give them a call at 225-3463 to carry it out. Open 11 to 10 Sunday through Thursday, 11 to 11 Friday, Saturday. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Just a bit outside.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Hanging out here on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust right here in the Elk City area. They've got the convenience packaging, which instead of having to get out your pill caddy and put all your different medications in the right dosage on the right day, in the right week of the month, maybe even if you got one of those giant pill caddies, you don't have to do that anymore. Just go down to Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones. They'll individually package your daily medication, where all you have to do is rip open the package, take the meds, and move on down life's path. You don't have to worry about whether or not you got it right, the right day. They'll do it for you. That's why it's convenient. Paul Jones Drug, also durable medical equipment, which is your walkers, your canes, your crutches, wraps, braces, all that kind of thing. Most insurance are accepted, but it's not just the medical stuff down at Paul Jones Drug. Also, plenty of gifts and greeting cards. You know, you think about it, you got Easter coming up here in a week and a half. Then we'll start to get into graduation season. Need some of those cool little gifts or greeting cards. Paul Jones Drug has them. 809 North Main, Paul Jones Drug. Is care you can trust. Is there a team in your bracket that you're struggling with the most? Like you take your first stab at your bracket, and maybe you've got this team losing in round two. And then you get to thinking about it, maybe you get to reading some other stuff. a feeling you start to have, and you go, ah, never mind, I'm going to advance them all the way to the Final Four or into the Elite Eight. And then you set on it, you have them back losing in the first round. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, nope. They're not getting upset. They might even win the whole thing. Do you have a team like that? Because I do. I have one team like that that I flat out can't decide. I could see them winning the whole thing, and it's taken everything I have not to pick them to win the whole thing. But I can also see them losing in round two very, very easily. I haven't had them winning the whole thing just yet. But for me, that team that I just can't figure out, and it all is because of youth, and it's Kentucky. I could see Kentucky with the talent that they have in an era of college basketball where you don't have a bunch of pros on the same team. They do. They will have pros. And if you don't believe me, just look at the NBA and how many of the best players in the NBA, especially the guards, are from Kentucky. Some of them you don't even realize are from Kentucky. And then you start looking, you go, oh my gosh, they're from Kentucky too? How in the hell did they never win? How does John Calipari have one national title at Kentucky with all the dudes that he's got in the NBA? Part of it is they didn't play together. Part of it is they all just play one season. Now, there's a bunch of different reasons for it. And so that's why they're the enigma of it to me. Because I could absolutely see Kentucky putting things together, getting hot, and all of a sudden you look up and the Wildcats are hanging out in Scottsdale, ready to try to win a national title. I could also see the youth getting frustrated by Texas Tech in round two, and Tech just choking them out. I don't know what to do with Kentucky. They are my team. They are the team in this NCAA tournament that I just don't know what to do with. I just don't know. And I'm not going to trust Hunt because I'm afraid Hunt will tell me with his heart and not with his head what he thinks Kentucky is going to do. I need a rational, well thought out explanation, not a go blue baby, in order for me to figure out what to do with Kentucky. Welcome back aboard to Superior Lawns. Our man Scott Kelly at Superior Lawns. They've got everything. Most people have their lawn sprayed by now. If you don't, it's risky. You might end up like my lawn a couple of years ago. Sprayed it just a little bit too late, a little bit too much Roundup mixed up, and next thing you know, the dog has got giant dirt paths carved through his yard where he runs around. And quite frankly, the Bermuda never made it back because of the way it got destroyed that year. And I'm afraid we killed it. So you've got kind of your lawn sprayed. But now is the time where you start preparing to put like yard of the month signs in your yard. How do you do that? Well, you get it sprayed first, which has already happened. Now once it starts to green up and you can start to see green grass right now as we speak, now is when you start using Superior Lawns for insecticides and fertilizer. Insecticides will keep, the grubs and the other insects off of your yard, but also application of fertilizer, that'll bring the dark, rich, green, healthy color to it. There's all kinds of different plans. Scott's got a 3-round application of fertilizer program for you that hits at different times of the year. That also supplies your yard with the different nutrients and ingredients that it needs at that time for the weather conditions. Give Scott Kelly a call. 580-799-5670. Superior Lawns of Western Oklahoma. Elk City, Canute, Cheyenne, and Sayre. Personal experience. He made our yard in Sayre, which is about an acre or so. It wasn't like we were going to go out and hose stickers throughout the entire yard. So he came and sprayed it. I mean, it was no time to where you were a lot more comfortable walking around without shoes on out on that sandy hill where we lived. And you were confident that you weren't just going to step into a sticker patch because of Scott and Superior Lawns of Western Oklahoma. Does anybody even care that OU didn't go to the NIT? OU fans, do you care? Does it really bother you? Do you understand it? I mean, where's anybody at? 225-9698 is the text line for Oklahoma basketball. Does it bother you that the Sooners did not accept an NIT invitation? They would have been the number one overall seed in that NIT, and they chose not to go. For me personally, I completely understand it. College basketball is not what it once was. For one, the carrot at the end of the road for the NIT is not the Madison Square Garden, which I could see that making people want to go play if you end up in Madison Square Garden. Is it more important for Porter Mosier to get on the recruiting trail? Do you think he's just sitting there, hit F5, waiting on portal guys to show up that he can start calling? It's probably what he needs to be doing. You know, his high school class looks to be pretty good this year. Dayton Forsyth, obviously the name that everybody knows as far as an Oklahoma kid. I don't have a problem with it at all. One, nobody, the NIT has zero luster anymore. And you can't even use you could practice and you can have more practices, more games to build for next year. Build for what? You have no idea if any guy on that team is coming back. And to me, that's the more important part for Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma State would have been the same way, is to start recruiting, one, your own guys, and two, in the portal. Because of how this era of college basketball is, it's completely transient. I mean, you have no guarantees from one year to the next that you're going to have guys back on your roster. That's why I think, for me at least, you need to play and you get more practices. This isn't bowl season. And heck, even bowl season's getting a little bit this way. But it's not where you get to work in those guys that haven't played much. Now, would it be nice for, say, Caden Cooper, the true freshman? Maybe. But you're also probably, for Porter Mosier, and the way Cooper didn't play much this year as kind of a heralded recruit coming in, you're probably trying to recruit him to stay more than you're wanting to watch him practice. And so that's where I just don't have a big problem with these teams turning down the NIT, because it would be one thing if the transfer portal didn't open until after the tournament was over. Then, now wait a minute, what are we doing here? But the fact that the portal opened yesterday and you're going to be trying to run practices or play pointless and meaningless NIT games, no thank you. And like Scott said on the text line, who wants to watch more bad basketball from Oklahoma? I don't. That's probably the best part. If there is a silver lining of OU not making the tournament, is that we're not going to have to watch it anymore. Thankfully. That dog has been shot, put out of its misery. So I really don't have a problem with any of these teams that didn't make the tournament focusing more on roster building and getting a head start in the portal versus playing meaningless NIT games. And I don't care. I don't know that anybody cares if their team wins the NIT. I think a majority of fans right now would rather see their squad, their coach, their program start to figure out how to get better next year to get into the tournament than winning an NIT. I just don't think that even shows up on the radar of college basketball fans anymore. This isn't, you know, 1940 when the NIT was a bigger deal than the tournament. Those days are long gone, and with the movement that is the portal in college basketball, it's way more important for me, for any coach, Porter Mosier included, especially a coach that is probably about to jump on the hot seat, considering he hasn't made the NCAA tournament any of the 3 years he's been the head coach at Oklahoma, and that hasn't happened at OU, three straight misses since 1976, 77, and 78. And oh, by the way, back then, those teams probably would have made this field because it was so the tournament was so much smaller back then, and it was so much more difficult to make the NCAA tournament when Dave Bliss was the head coach in the late 70s. His teams probably would have made this field. And so I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say, and I think it's fairly obvious, this is the worst stretch of OU basketball in 50 years. And meanwhile, OSU's maybe having their worst ever. So it's kind of a little bit of a sad time. But it is what it is. You know, this used to be the conversation would be had almost exclusively for 3 days, maybe even 4 days, that how many, you know, where's OU going to end up? On the Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, where's OSU? Are they a Final Four team this year? And instead, Oklahoma State's trying to find a coach, and OU is trying to find their way under a coach that has led them to something that we haven't seen in 40 years, 45 years, in futility. And so for those reasons, it's a lot more important to me for Oklahoma to get it figured out for next year than to play in some NIT. It doesn't float my boat whatsoever for SMU to come up to Norman tonight and play a game that means absolutely nothing when the larger task is to get Oklahoma, not even just into the tournament, get Oklahoma back where they, you know, think about when once Billy got it rolling all the way through Kelvin Sampson, you're talking about a top 10 to 15 program in the country. And they were able to do that in the shadow of one of the top five of all-time football programs. That's how good OU basketball was. And OSU was right there at the same time. I mean, you kids that are like in high school that are out there on spring break, you have no idea. Like, it's a foreign concept to you to think about how good OU and OSU were not that long ago, when there was times where you thought, man, these two could meet in the Final Four. And now you're trying to figure out if they can both figure out a way to get in the tournament in the same year. So it's for me, I think OU, Porter Moser, his team did the right thing. They did the thing that builds for the future more, and that is skip the NIT and get starting to try to figure things out. Because, you know, it was a complete roster rebuild basically in Norman this year. And you have to wonder, there's a lot of talk about this yesterday on the station, with the change in the style of play that Oklahoma's about to experience, going from the rough and tugged and rugged and tough and street fight nature of the Big 12 to more of the free-flowing run and gun, get your athletes out in the open floor, score a bunch of points, SEC. It's going to be a lot more pleasing on the eye, at least for one of the teams on the floor next year. And Moser's got to figure out if he's got the guys that can handle that, or if he's kind of got to dip into the portal again and figure out a way to transform his team into an SEC team as opposed to the Big 12 style. We talk about it all the time in football. Can Oklahoma handle the SEC with the up front linemen, da-da-da? The same holds for basketball right now, because those two leagues on a nightly basis – the way the game is played, the way the game is officiated and allowed to be in the leagues, it doesn't even look like the same sport. You got 51-50 in one league and you got 95-92 in the other. It's not the same game. And so they've got to figure that out, you know, whether or not they've got the guys that'll work in the SEC or if they got to get busy doing something else. So I have no problem with OU not going to the NIT and anybody else for that matter, because of its irrelevance in the grand scheme of things. All right, finally, Thunder. We'll probably have to wait. Let's wait for that to tomorrow. They'll get back at it with Utah in town. Thunder in the first place spot in the Western Conference. 15 games to go in the regular season. All right, everybody, enjoy your Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Warm and windy, but warm is the key. And I think tomorrow is the first day of spring. So here we are. Spring is about to be sprung. Don't forget, Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge, Skinny on Sports Facebook page is your link.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.